Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Tonight. Yes, this is Thursday night, July 13th, 2017. You are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and Host, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Well, on tonight, my guest again is Deacon Marvin Cox. And for those of you that may be tuning in for the first time, and for those of you that have heard him in the past, Deacon Marvin Cox, the Lord has opened another door for him, that he's now going to be with us every second Thursday and also every second Saturday will be Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to be bringing the word on tonight. So I'm asking all listeners, get your Bibles and pens and paper ready so you can follow along with him as he brings forth God's word on tonight. And he always shares with us a poem. He has an anointing on him to write poems. And so God is using him in such an awesome way. And I'm so proud to be able to have him come and share the good news of Jesus Christ with his worldwide platform. And so that God would be glorified through it all. But before we go any further, I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go in prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give your name praise. We come to give you glory and honor. We come to say thank you for who and all that you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this another day that you have made. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come seeking and asking your forgiveness of all of our sins and our transgressions, beginning with me. Forgive me, and also I ask that you forgive my entire family. And also Deacon Marvin Cox, forgive him and his entire family of all of our sins and our transgressions, Heavenly Father, on tonight. Forgive us so that everything that we do for you over this worldwide platform on tonight, Heavenly Father, through a song or a prayer, even through the word and through the poem, Heavenly Father, on tonight, that it would not be hindered, able to accomplish everything that you set for them to do in the earth over this worldwide platform on tonight, that you be glorified is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come also in the name of Jesus on tonight. We come again lifting up all those that may be tuned in and listening who do not have a personal relationship with your son, Jesus Christ, who is not saved in his name. We pray, Lord, that something will be said or done on tonight through your word, Heavenly Father, through the poem, or how would you see fit, Heavenly Father, that those that are spiritually blind, that may be listening, whether it's by phone or by internet, that you would speak a word into their lives, Heavenly Father, that they would be able to surrender by opening their own mouth and confessing the Lord Jesus Christ and asking him to come into their hearts so they can be saved in his name on tonight. so that they are, once they're saved, they will come to know their God purpose, and they will walk in their God purpose. They will live and fulfill their God purpose in the earth, is our prayer in Jesus' name on tonight. Heavenly Father, we come lifting up in a special way. We lift up all the different family members, Heavenly Father, that lost the Marines and Navy members in the military on Monday, the 16 members that was killed in the plane crash, Marine Sergeant Julian Cavillian, and all those that was on the plane with him. And not only those families, Heavenly Father, but you know who they are, and you know and also how they're hurting, and you know how to reach them. You know how to comfort and strengthen as only you can, Heavenly Father. And also come lifting up Brother James Reynolds. Comfort and strengthen him in the loss of his mother, Heavenly Father, made her transition, Thomas Reynolds. Comfort and strengthen him and that entire family, Heavenly Father, and all those that are bereaving on tonight. Comfort and strengthen, Heavenly Father, as only you can, is our prayer in Jesus' name. We also lift up all those that are incarcerated behind prison bars for just and unjust reasons. We pray, Lord, that you would send a word through the prison bars and the jail houses, and also through the juvenile detention centers, Heavenly Father, that you would send a vessel to speak a word into those lives of those men, women, boys, and girls that are incarcerated, that they too will be able to surrender and give their life to Jesus Christ. Even though they're behind bars, they can be used by you to fulfill their God purpose, that they can draw souls to Jesus Christ. So we just ask that you would send a word, even through the jail cells and through the prisons and through the juvenile detention centers, that you be glorified is our prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come giving your name praise. We come to give you glory because of who you are. We thank you that you do not change. We thank you for your grace and your mercy on today. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing my nephew Michael and his children, Jacob and Sophia, to make it back to Virginia safely. Thank you for your traveling grace for them. And we just give your name praise. We give you glory and ask you to continue to have your way through this worldwide platform, that you alone will be glorified. Help us to decrease so that you may increase in us is our prayer in Jesus' name. Continue to bless the listeners, and that you would touch this listening audience, Heavenly Father, that they would spread the word, that this listening audience would grow beyond our wildest dreams, that even more souls will be saved through the word, that you, as you send vessels to preach and teach your word through this worldwide platform. We just thank you for this worldwide platform. Heavenly Father, we don't take it lightly or for granted, but we know that it's of your doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes, and we're just so grateful to be a part of it. So we just ask you, but have your way on tonight, that you be glorified is our prayer in Jesus' name, and all of the people of God that were touched and agreed with this prayer said amen. Well, on amen. Tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, whatever you accomplish in life and battles you fight, you should start on your knees. Again, whatever battles you fight, and also whatever accomplishment in life that you are trying to accomplish and you are succeeding in, they all should start on your knees. So the Lord said, vengeance is mine. If you have enemies or you have someone that's jealous or envious of you, or they're trying to set traps for you, you continue to pray for them. You do what the word say. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord and watch God work. He said, vengeance is mine. So tonight's spiritual food for thought, once again, is whatever you accomplish in life and battles you fight, they should start on your knees. That's our spiritual food for thought for tonight. I'm asking all the listeners, please get your Bibles once again and your papers and pens ready so you can follow along with the man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, as he brings forth the word and shares his poem on tonight. But I'm asking all listeners, please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors. Vessels, and once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Well, on tonight we have Deacon Marvin Cox. He's coming forth to bring the word on tonight. Again, for those that may be tuning in for the first time, Deacon Marvin Cox, he's going to be bringing the word each second Thursday night and also each second Saturday night. Deacon Marvin Cox, who's bringing the word tonight, will be coming forth each second Thursday and each second Saturday night, bringing the word and also sharing poems with the listeners. So I have, I think, one or two announcements that I'd like to make before we come forth with Deacon Marvin Cox with his poem, and then he's going to share the word on tonight. I'm asking all listeners, please share the good news. Please spread the word about this broadcast. The Lord is doing great things through this platform, through this worldwide ministry. And that's exactly what this is, because it's not about me. It's not about any of the guests that comes on. It's about us sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. It's about us going into the hedges and highways through the internet and through over the phone lines and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. It's compelling men, women, boys, and girls that there is a better way, and they can surrender their lives and hearts and minds to Jesus Christ, because he have a purpose for each one of their lives, and they can be saved even today in his name. So that's what this ministry is all about. So this ministry is, as you all may know, is through Blog Talk Radio, and it's an internet radio show. And so I am reaching parts of the world right now, but the Lord has opened another door for me to be able to reach through the ministry, through this worldwide platform. And what I'm asking you, the listeners, to do, if you would be willing to, and if you need to pray about it, I'm asking you to always pray and consult the Lord first, and that's what you should do. But I'm inquiring your help to help take this broadcast to the next level in Christ that God wants it to go, where we can get the news about Jesus Christ even over all parts of the world that connects to the internet. And so, like I said, I'm partially connected to the world, but I want to be totally connected to the entire world. This door has opened for me to do that. And how you can help, listeners, I need you, for those of you that have PayPal accounts, if you would sow into this ministry, whatever God placed in your heart to sow into this ministry, you will truly be blessed by being a blessing to this ministry, this worldwide radio program, and that God will be glorified. Many more souls can be saved through the word. And I'm asking you, if you have a PayPal account, if you if you are willing to sow into this ministry, please go to my PayPal account. And my PayPal account would be under my email, which is all lowercase, James_Brown. What I'd like you to do, so that you will get credit for it if you file your taxes, you can, in the memo section, make sure that you put in there blogtalkradio.com/SAV, which stands for Servants, Ambassadors, Vessels. Again, for those of you that would like to sow into this ministry through your PayPal account, you can go to my PayPal account, again, under my email, which is all lowercase, James_Brown1558@yahoo.com. And I'm asking you to please go into your comment section or the memo section on your PayPal account. If you sow into this ministry, please put type in there so that you can get credit for it. If you want to file for taxes, you can get credit for it. Make sure you put in the memo section, again, in your PayPal account for this ministry, for this radio program. Make sure you put in your memo section Blog Talk Radio backslash, and then you can put SAV. Once again, it stands for Servants, Ambassadors, Vessels, and that's what we are. If we are being doers of God's word, that's what we are. In the kingdom of God on earth, we are servants. We are his servants. We are his ambassadors and vessels. So if you would consider sowing into this ministry, for those of you that have PayPal accounts, I would much greatly appreciate it. And watch God bless you, because he knows your heart. And do it from your heart. And I am so grateful, and I know that someone is going to sow into this ministry by way of PayPal. And for those of you who do not have PayPal accounts, the Lord is setting it up for me now, but I will be able to give you a post office box later on for those of you that would like to sow into this radio ministry by way of post office box. I will have a post office box later on. But for those of you that, again, that do have a PayPal account, if you'd like to sow into this ministry, however you see fit financially, sow under my PayPal account. Again, once again, and my PayPal account is under my email address, all lowercase, James_Brown1558@yahoo.com. And then once you get into the memo section on your PayPal account, you want to type in there Blog Talk Radio backslash SAV to sow into this ministry, and watch God bless you for doing so. Well, those are my announcements that I have for now, and we want to keep all those that are bereaved on tonight, we want to keep them lifted up in prayer. especially those families of the military men, the Navy men, and the Marines. It was 16 of them that was killed on this past Monday evening. I think it was Monday morning, a plane crashed. And one of the young men, the military Marine Sergeant Julian, he was from Detroit, Michigan. So he was one of our very own. So we want agreement at this time. Keep them lifted up in prayer that they will be comforted and strengthened by God. So right now I am so pleased to bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to be bringing forth the word on tonight. The first, before he brings forth the word, he's going to share a poem with us again. He's always going to share a poem first, and then he's going to bring the word. But following his poem, I'm going to do a music break. I'm going to do a short music break following his poem. And then following the poem, I'm going to come back after the music break, and I'm going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox so he can share the word with us on tonight. So I pray you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready so you can follow along with the man of God as he delivers God's word. And continue to pass the word on about this radio ministry that we're on every Thursday night. And every Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. And also Deacon Marvin Cox. And again, as I forestated for those that may be tuning in for the first time, he do not use his illness as an excuse. And I share this for a reason for those that may be listening for the first time and those that may have gotten familiar with his voice. Deacon Marvin Cox has an illness that he suffers with, as I think it's muscular dystrophy. Muscular cirrhosis, one of those. Well, he would be able to tell you exactly which one it is. But he's at the point in his life with his health that he cannot really get out the house like he wants to and go to church like he used to. But the Lord opened this door for him through this worldwide platform. That's what I love about this platform. And he still wants to serve God, and that's what he's doing. He's not using his illness, his handicap, his disability, to use that as an excuse not to do what God has called him to do. So that's what I want to share with the listeners on tonight. Whatever your condition may be, God has a purpose for your life. And if he has allowed you to suffer with an illness such as myself, I suffer with seizures myself, but I thank God that I'm still here doing what God has called me to do. And also Deacon Marvin Cox, he's still fulfilling his God purpose. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to be faithful to him and be obedient to him. So even while you're suffering, even in your body, remember that you're still healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. And we can still complete and fulfill our God purpose, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. He is the one that gives us the strength to do what we do. So for those of you that are trying to look for excuses or reasons not to do what God called you to do because you may have a handicap or illness, do not let that be an excuse. Deacon Marvin Cox is a prime example on tonight. So that's why I'm so glad and excited for him that he can come, and he's going to be coming forth every second Thursday and every second Saturday sharing a poem and the word of God. So right now, Deacon Marvin Cox, could you please share your poem with us on tonight? And then I'm going to do a short music break, and I'm going to come back and yield the mic to you.
Amen. Our poem for tonight is called When Yesterday Was Crowded. I remember when yesterday was crowded with the endless possibilities of hopes, dreams, aspirations, and promises of a better tomorrow. The immaturity of youth was never a deterrent, but an incentive to be free and creative while navigating the exciting yet uncertain road of life. I remember when yesterday was crowded with the laughter of children playing in the distance, the sounds of summer as the birds chirped in the trees, the bees buzzing from flower to flower, pollinating the whole universe, and the crickets breaking the silence of night with their high-frequency vibrations, and the smell of hot buttered popcorn when we had family night at the movies. I also remember when yesterday was crowded with the anticipation of Santa Claus, birthday parties, graduations, marriage, new cars, jobs, children, and moving day, unexpected visits from loved ones, and a very peaceful church service. And finally, I remember when yesterday was crowded with love, love for our fellow man, love of life, love of family, love of selves, love of country, and most importantly, love of God. It's truly amazing how our yesterdays were so full of everything, and our todays and tomorrows can be so empty. call someone that you haven't talked to in a while. Tell that person that God loves them and that you love them too. Don't assume that they know. Fill their day with laughter and cheer. Fill up their heart with hopeful optimism. Let your love and the Lord's love be like the sunshine that evaporates the dark clouds of despair into invisibility. You will be surprised how therapeutic a phone call can be. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord for that. And that's what I always say. Sometimes we need to just go back to the old landmark when we first got and when we first fell in love with the Lord, how excited we was and how enthusiastic we was about being in church and participating in church and doing things for the Lord and representing Jesus Christ wholeheartedly in the neighborhood, on our job, representing the kingdom. But what has happened to the church today? Yeah, so we do. We need to go back to the old landmark. So, yeah, when yesterday was crowded, yeah, when people looked out for each other, they showed love and compassion for one another, just like Jesus did. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. When yesterday was crowded, that was a good poem, Dick and Marvin Cox. You always come forth with good poems and good readings. So I thank God for you for sharing that very nice poem and a much-needed poem that people need to hear. And so that maybe give people something to think about. And then maybe once they get to thinking about it, they can pray about it. And then we can start seeing some changes. And God will truly be glorified. But right now, we're going to go forth with our music break on tonight. And following this music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox so he can deliver God's word on tonight. But before I do the music break, I forgot to mention, I do want to announce to the listeners, every fourth Saturday starting this month, will be Pastor Norman King of Greensboro, North Carolina. He will be our guest every fourth Saturday, starting this fourth Saturday. He is the pastor of Victor's Outreach Ministries. He is my first cousin, and he's from Greensboro, North Carolina. Pastor Norman King will be coming forth sharing the word every fourth Saturday, and he's another awesome man of God. The Lord has opened the door for me to have two radio hosts up under me now. Prophetess Vadira Hayward, her show comes on the same broadcast through Blog Talk Radio every fourth Saturday from 6:30 to 7 p.m. And her show title is Releasing the Sounds. Again, that's Prophetess Vadira Hayward every fourth Saturday from 6:30 to 7 p.m., Releasing the Sounds. And then every first and every third Thursday is Theologically Speaking with Brother Jose Dorsey. Every first and third Thursday, Theologically Speaking with Brother Jose Dorsey. He is the host of that radio show, again, over the same Talk Radio Network under my direction. Theologically Speaking with Brother Jose Dorsey every first and third Thursday from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Tune in to listen to them because they also are anointed men and women of God whom the Lord is using with different words that he's bringing to our attention through these vessels. So if you have time and available to tune in on those days and time to hear the word through other vessels, I would like for you to tune in and be blessed by them as also. So we thank God for what he's doing through this worldwide platform. So that's like I said earlier, the Lord is doing, and he's taking this broadcast to another level. And I also have Dr. Patricia Heisman will be starting her own show over the same platform very soon. And as soon as her dates are available and locked in, I will give you her dates and times that she will be coming forth also. There's a minister, Dr. Patricia Heisman, out of Pontiac, Michigan. She will be coming forth with her own show under Blog Talk Radio, also under my direction. So I just thank God for what he's doing through this ministry. So that's why I need your support. I need your help so we can take this ministry and this broadcast to another level where God wants it to be so that many more souls can be saved through the word. So right now, Deacon Marvin Cox, I am yielding the mic to you to deliver God's word.
Amen. I thank you, Brother Brown. Because the advanced time, we're going to immediately go in tonight into God's word. The Lord gave me a wonderful message, which all of them are, to bring forth tonight. And it, we're coming from the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, King James Version. And the text is, "Then Peter came unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother, sin against me, and I forgive him?" That's a question mark right there. And then he says, "Till seven times." So this is Peter has asked him two questions. How often can my brothers, or is it allowable for my brothers to sin against me, and how often shall I forgive them? And our topic for tonight is, once is not enough. Now, going with the story, the Lord was bringing forth a new way of doing everything. Peter was feeling in his heart, and our main topic tonight, we're going to talk about forgiveness. Now, forgiveness comes in many forms, and Peter was, by the Lord showing him a new way, he was adjusted to the ways of the rabbi. And the Lord told us that he didn't come to, that he came to change, not to change the law, but to fulfill the law. So he thought that he was being generous when he asked the Lord 100 times, "Have I to forgive my brother?" Seven times. But the rabbis were, the way they were teaching, they were telling the people that you can forgive three times. So Peter thought that he was being generous by saying, "Well, I'm going to double that, and I'm going to add one," which we know the number seven, it represents completion. And so if we look at the response from the Lord says in verse number 22 of the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, the Lord says, "Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times." So the Lord is just letting Peter know at this particular time, no. Seven times is not enough. One time is not enough. He said, but 70 times seven. I've just read unto you from the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 21 and 22. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may it edify our souls forever. Now, getting back to forgiveness, the Lord used 70 times 7 not as a numerical target, but he was using it to let us know that we are supposed to forgive our brothers unlimited. There's no limit on the times that we should forgive our brothers, because we know that we have repeat offenders. And if we look at this, take this 70 times 7, and if we just was to break that down into context, we know that each and every last one of us is a written fact in the Word that we sin daily. And if we sin daily 490 times, being forgiven by the Lord, we know that with we sin multiple times a day, we know that 490 days divided by 2 would be approximately 245 times that we're forgiven. So within 6 months or 8 months out of a year, our forgiveness card with God would run out. So we know that we are supposed to forgive our brothers and our sisters multiple times. We know that we're not supposed to put a limit on the times that we forgive our brothers and our sisters. We know that God, in our Lord's Prayer, which is located in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 9 through 13, there's one specific verse that, which is our Lord's Prayer, which in different publications, it, it has a different reading, but I'm going to read two of them to you. It says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So the Lord is letting each and every last one of us know there's going to be multiple times, because if you look at it, it's S on debts and it's S on trespasses, which means that there is multiple times that we would have to come to forgive our brothers. There's multiple times that we would have to submit ourselves unto debt, which we know that sometimes it's hard to do. Forgiving truly is not an easy thing to do. We know that with the trespasses, and we know that the debts means that somebody owes you. Trespasses is an intrusion upon someone's personal space. So God is letting us know that when that individual, when they offend us, when they assassinate our character, when they say all manners of evil against us, when they go against us, when they oppose us for no reason at all, that we are supposed to forgive them. We are supposed to submit ourselves, because, see, it's benefits. Whether we know it or not, it is benefits in forgiving. Because, see, once we have this unleashing of forgiving in a person, it removes hatred from our heart. It removes animosity from our heart. It removes vengeance from our heart. And it takes away, if we don't forgive, it takes away that which God wants to do. It takes away that pardon. Because when we forgive, even Allstate, if you look at the Allstate commercial, they have what is known as accident forgiveness, which simply says that for this one right here, I will forgive you. I will not hold you accountable for it. I will not penalize you because you stepped across that one particular line. So if Allstate, which is a conglomerate, which is a worldly company, if Allstate can have accident forgiveness, why can't I have forgiveness towards my brother who transgressed against me, towards my sister who also transgressed against me? And at the end of our Lord's Prayer, just letting each and every last one of us know that why, if you don't forgive, then God won't forgive you. Now, there is a multiplicity of things that we can forgive people for. There's a multiplicity of offenses that our brothers and our sisters commit against us on a daily basis. But when you bring forth this forgiveness, when you have this forbearance in your heart, if you think about it, the world, they have forgiveness. When an individual falls behind in their house note or their mortgage, the mortgage company will say, I tell you what, we're going to enter into a forbearance agreement. But to forgive does not necessarily absolve that individual of the wrong or the transgression that they've done against you, because they do have the answer unto God. It just says that, look, I will allow you to make restitution for this sinful thing, for this harmful thing, for this hurtful thing, for this character assassination that you performed against me, that you performed against God. So once is not enough. We as Christians must learn that there's no limit on the amount of forgiveness that we should show to our brothers, or that we should show for our brothers. Because there are many, they call them habitual, they call them repeat offenders, who know not the true word or the true meaning of God, who transgress constantly, who do things in a matter in which we begin to believe that it is purposeful. But whether it's, they did it on purpose or not, God is letting us know that if we have an ought, then we must forgive for our Father in heaven to forgive us. So if I'm walking around with a grudge, we can't hold grudges, we cannot allow ourselves to let the hatred or frustration accumulate within us to the point that we want to do our brother or our sister some harm. Now, recently in Detroit, there was a lady that recently, as a few hours ago, there was a lady whose daughter had been brutally murdered. And one of the things that she said today at the sentencing of her, the perpetrator who did this to her daughter, she said that she had to forgive. She said that she had to forgive so that it would not, to relieve herself, so that the burden of carrying that heavy load of having a grudge or being, feeling that she should bring or take things into her own hands. Because, see, when you forgive, when we forgive, you're turning everything over into the hands of the Lord. And this is something that the Lord is asking us to do, because in the Lord's Prayer, the Lord is petitioning his Father. And the petition is basically a prayer within a prayer. We're saying, and forgive us. And it's covering the concerns and the needs of the people, because I need to forgive my brother who has transgressed against me, who has embarrassed me for what I feel is no reason, who has caused harm, who has malice in his heart against me. Because it's not how you treat me that matters, but it's how I respond to you, it's how I allow God to operate in my life, how I turn the other cheek. And see, sometimes we want to hold on until, or we want to withdraw from forgiving, because it gives us a certain amount of power. Because when a person is contrite in their spirit and we refuse to tell them, I accept your apology, or I'm not going to hold this against you, we could return to the fellowship that we once had. Because, see, not forgiving is a barrier that prevents love from flowing, that prevents us from going forth in the name of the Lord. Because there are some things that we hold on to, that we hold on to for so long, and hatred, animosity, vengeance are just like cancer. They will eat away at you until there's nothing left to the fiber of your being. So Lord is letting us know. He says 70 times 7. As I was saying, it's just a symbolic number. We know that 70 is 10 times 7. So the Lord said, okay, well, what are we going to do? See, Peter thought he was being generous by saying, okay, Lord, how many times should I forgive those that have sinned against me? So he really thought that he was being generous by saying 7, which, as I was saying, that the rabbis at that particular time, they were saying 3 times. Because if we can't keep score on forgiveness, because that if we go with 70 times 7, but after the 490 times that you've sinned against me, brother, I'm going to have to see you outside in the parking lot. Sister, I'm going to have to really tell you how I truly feel about how you've been treating me. But the Lord is telling us that this is supposed to be continuous. It's supposed to be perpetual. It's supposed to be done in such a way that regardless of what the offense may be, I cannot allow myself to take it personal. Because when I ask for forgiveness for those that I have transgressed against, believe it or not, I'm asking God at the same time for that forgiveness. Because he says in his word, the least you do unto these my little ones, you also do unto me. So if I transgressed, if I sinned against my brother or my sister, and I go to that brother or that sister and submit myself wholeheartedly unto that brother or that sister, I have submitted myself unto God, because what I do to that brother, what I do to that sister, what I say to that brother, what I say to that sister, I'm saying to God. So we have to be extremely careful during this time. Well, I cannot allow myself to be like that unmerciful servant, the one that, if you bear with me, I'm going back to Matthew, the 18th chapter. I'm going to start reading down from that the 23rd verse, and it's letting you know how important it is for us to forgive and not to be unmerciful in our way of thinking. And this is just a continuation of when Peter asked the Lord how many times should he forgive his brother or his sister who sinned against him. Now the word is saying in the 23rd verse, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which should take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now that was quite a bit right there. But so as much as he had not to pay, he did not have it to reimburse the king for what he owed him. His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all he had, and payment to be made. So it wasn't going to let this brother get off the hook no kind of way. If you don't pay me, I'm just like the IRS. I'm sending you to jail. So as the story goes, but so as much, the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him and said, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now, could you imagine yourself, you have a financial obligation out there, and then the lease or your car note is due, but some emergency came up whereas you didn't have it, so you called the finance company, whoever it was that you owed, and say, you know, and they called that, fortunately, they called it, we're going to give you a grace period to take care of this. Ain't God good? So they say, okay, we're not going to penalize you because they wrote in the contract that if you missed this or that, that we could come and we could repossess or we could confiscate your property, which belongs to us. So then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Wait a minute now. Only God now. Only God. And this is God speaking, that forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. Now here go a gentleman that had just been pardoned for 10,000 talents. He was in debt up to, how they say, he was in debt up the wazoo. And then he went and somebody owed him, and he grabbed him by the throat. He physically assaulted this man and said, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now, this is the same thing that he had recently begged for mercy from the one that he was in debt with. But as the story goes, they say, that he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So he had been shown mercy, but he was unmerciful to those that owed him. He did not forgive him his debt. He did not say, well, okay, how when we receive a blessing, how we bless someone with that blessing that we received, as opposed to getting that blessing, then turning up our nose at our brothers and our sisters. So we should keep it going, or today the word is we pay it forward. But he did not pay it forward. And so when the fellow servants that says, okay, number 30, and it says, and he would not, but went and cast him in prison till he should pay the debt. So he didn't have no forgiveness in his heart. There was no forbearance. There was no mercy. Just said, hey, you're going to give me mine, or you're going to pay the consequences. No forgiveness. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. So whether we know it or not, there are some reporters out there that are going to bring forth and take it back to God how unmerciful we have been in dealing with our brothers and our sisters who have who are in debt to us. But see, we all are in debt to God. We all owe God. And how many times have we heard that expression, I'm just living on borrowed time. So if I'm living on borrowed time, who gave me that time? God gave me that time. Then the Lord, after what had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desired me. Y'all, you humbled yourself to me. You submitted yourself to me. You was contrite in your spirit. You had all sincerity of paying me back. So your debt was forgiven. But the Lord said, called him a wicked servant. And see, this is letting us know that the implementation of the golden rule is not as it should be, because now we got the attitude, and the world has the attitude of do unto others before they do unto you. Not do unto others as you would have them to do unto you, but do unto others before they do unto you. So the Lord was wroth. The Lord of the servant, he was wroth because he had treated the servant, number one, with fairness. He had treated him with kindness. He had treated him with forbearance. And he did not pay it forward. And so it answered the question, should thou not have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? So this is a question. Why didn't you forgive him? Or if you didn't forgive him, why didn't you let him go until the installment plan, until that debt was worked out? So these are questions that I have. I mean, these animosities that we build up, we're stopping God from pardoning people for their sins. We're standing in the way of what it is that God would have us to do. But since we say, no, well, hey, I'm not going to let that person get away with that. But we all have to have an accounting of those things according to the deeds that is done in this body. I have to make it right with God. I have to make it right with my brother. I have to submit myself. Even when my brother has done wrong unto me, I'm submitting myself unto God. When I let this brother or let this sister know, I'm lifting a heavy burden off of myself, because we will carry that burden of unforgiveness around with us forever. Because when we do things when we want to do it, then it becomes convenient for us to hold that power over an individual. No, you haven't proven to me that you're really sorry for that what you've done. But see, the word, it moves that out of the way. Because there are some that will come to you as raven wolves in sheep's clothing. There are those that who will work their way into your life to manipulate you, to go against you, to say all manners of evil against you. But we cannot stand in the way of God dealing with those persons in a just way. Cannot allow vengeance or how they say, we can't allow revenge to enter into our mind. And that's one of the most wonderful things that we can do, and that is to forgive someone. And I say once is not enough. The reason I'm saying once is not enough because we can't put a limit, and God didn't put a limit, even though the Lord says 70 times 7, but that was just in a way in which letting us know in our feeble mind, because it's not a time where we begin to count the amount of times that someone has sinned against us. All we know is that the accumulation of things that people do when they transgress against us, that it becomes, I can't take this anymore. I got to tell that brother, I got to tell this sister how I feel about this situation. But God is letting us know, do not. Said Peter, don't worry about it. Raphael, don't worry about it. James, don't you worry about it. You forgive them. And even when the Lord was on the cross to show you how wonderful God works and how he operates, when they had said and done all things against him, were the words out of his mouth. And this is in Luke, the 23rd chapter and the 34th verse. The Lord said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they had done every imaginable thing against him. He said, Father, forgive the Roman soldiers who beat me all night long, who terrorized me, who put a crown of thorns on my head, who gambled for my clothing. Father, forgive these two, one to my left and one to my right, who is reviling me and telling me if I be this to save myself and then them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They don't understand the magnitude of what it is that they're doing, not against me, but against you. But then he also turned around and said, not my will, but your will, Father. Then he said, Lord, Father, forgive these religious leaders who convicted me of this thing. Father, forgive the crowd which is saying blaspheming things against me. Now, he suffered the worst atrocities that an individual could ever suffer. But the Lord said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. Father, don't charge this to them, Father. They don't know the magnitude of what it is that they're doing. So look at all these different individuals that did all these different things against the Lord. But his words was, Father, forgive them. Now, my brothers and my sisters, I'm asking you, if I said anything to offend you in any way, forgive me. Going to my wife, to my children, because see, we have sins of omission and we have sins of commission. Whereas we may offend someone and not truly be aware that we have offended them. So forgive me. If I bring forth an untasteful joke or something, forgive me. If you don't like the way my hair is cut, forgive me. If the things I do and say to you, to the listeners, to my family, is offensive to you, the Lord is just saying, forgive me. I know not what I do. I don't know that what I'm doing is an offense to you. I don't know that it's an offense to God. So my brothers and my sisters, every day we should ask for forgiveness first from God. And then over in the 6th chapter of Matthew, between the 9th and the 13th verse, it said, forgive us our trespasses and forgive those who trespass against us. This means known and unknown, seen and unseen. Once is not enough, my brothers and my sisters. Once is not enough because we have a lot of habitual offenders. We have a lot of repeat offenders. How many times have our children done something that just totally offended us and embarrassed us? We've got to find room in our heart to forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They're not aware of the magnitude of the hurt, of the pain, of the frustration that is being brought forth or that is being caused. So my brothers and my sisters, I say to you this evening that once is not enough. Twice is not enough. Three times is not enough. Seven times is not enough. 70 times is not enough. Our forgiveness should be unlimited. Our love should be unlimited. Don't allow yourself to be caught up in putting a limitation upon the forgiveness that is in your heart, because your heart, whether we know it or not, can receive that. Your heart can adjust to that. Just pray for that brother or that sister that has offended you. Pray with the love of God. Pray with all your might. So, my brothers and my sisters, once again, as I bring this lesson this evening to a standstill, once is not enough. And God is expecting us to be better stewards. He has forgiven us for a lot of things worthy enough to be bored in awe. So just think about that the next time, parents, when we get on our children about their behavior. Think about how merciful God was when we did the same thing 35 years ago. Think about how God brought us through. Forgive them. Talk to them. Teach them. Educate them. Amen. May God bless you and may we keep you. Amen.
Amen and amen again. Deacon Marvin Cox, what an awesome, mighty word on tonight. Once again, as always, once is not enough. So clearly, and how you demonstrated how many times that Jesus healed and delivered and blessed people, and some of them same people that he helped and healed and delivered and set free and blessed them and their family members and gave some of them sights back and raised their family members from the dead, those same people turned around and said, crucify him. But he said, like you said in the word, while he was yet hanging on the cross, he locked his head in the locks of his shoulders, and before he died and gave up the ghost, he said out of his own mouth, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So if Jesus, after all he went through, can forgive, what about you and I? That's what we are to do. We're to be Christ-like. We are to forgive. So the Lord said, vengeance is mine. Pray for those that despitefully use you. And so we must realize that once to forgive someone is not enough. Thank God that God did not only forgive us just once, because we would all be doomed. Deacon Marvin Cox, thank you for the word on tonight. I pray that you was blessed by the word on tonight, listeners. I know that I was. Be encouraged in the word on tonight, listeners. I thank you for tuning in on tonight, and I pray that you continue to pass the word on to your family and friends and church members and pastors and co-workers and neighbors about this program, this ministry, this radio program that comes forth every Thursday and every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. with different men and women that bring forth the word of God, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, that souls can be saved. We know that's what it's all about. So we thank God for the opportunity for this worldwide platform, and we thank God for you, the listeners, so we don't take you lightly or for granted either. Thank God for you tuning in. Continue to tune in faithfully and be blessed by the word. As we always do, we close out in prayer. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, we come once again and say thank you for your grace, your mercy toward each one of us, Heavenly Father. We know we don't deserve your grace or your mercy. We're not worthy of it. But thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us. Thank you for who you are in all of our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, and he rose for us, and he's now sitting at the right hand of God. You, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, making intercession for the saints of God, even right now. So we pray, Lord, that on tonight, that this word did not go out void, that it was going to accomplish everything that you set forth to do. And we pray, Lord, that someone that may have been blind before hearing the word, now their spiritual eyes are now open, and they can open their mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved in his name, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Continue to strengthen and bless Zeke Marvin Cox, that he will continue to be able to do what you have called and appointed for him to do in such a time as this. Continue to bless his family, his life. Continue to use him for your glory is our prayer. And we just give your name praise. We give you glory. We give you honor because of who you are. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're always in total control at all times. You don't fail. You can't slumber nor sleep nor lie. Thank you that you are not like man. Heavenly Father, we just bless your name on tonight. We give you glory, honor, and praise, for you're worthy to be praised. And all the people of God that are in total agreement with this prayer say amen. Well, on tonight, know that God loves you. I love you, too. God loves you even more. Well, until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. And while we're being blessed of the Lord, we want to continue to pray for one another and realize that and know once and for all that once is not enough. Well, until the next time, good night.
Come on, KD.
It's an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir. Pray for me.